It's time for CT and Prevo, a cultured, cultivated, enlightened, civilized, learned, and discerning podcast. Who wrote this sh-? This is the CT and Prevo Sports Podcast. We're a little bit full of bullshit. We're a little bit, well, actually a lot loud, but we're a lot of fun.
Here we go.
Goofing around and talking all things sports. This is the CT and Prevo Sports Podcast. Ready? And here are your hosts, CT and Prevo.
Here it comes.
I want to touch on Juju dumbass talking about how him and Antonio Brown would have been a very dominant duo.
No,
I bet you don't.
And you want to know why I don't?
And I got love for Juju, man. He just needs to show.
Look, Prevo and I have talked about it. We talked about it before.
We did not – listen, we've got to bring this up. We did not even touch on the fact that Nike shit on Kobe. Damn it, bring that up tonight.
I'm leaving that alone. Because my feelings about it are not going to be what motherfuckers want to hear.
All the more reason to bring it up. I sit here and talk all the time that we need to start bending the curve on this bitch.
Because that's about – We might hit 3 hours of that.
No, man, it ain't gonna be like that. We ain't gonna have enough content, man. We're trying to bust out an hour out of
that. We can go on for an hour about Kobe. All right, man. Fuck, I'm trying to get my crazy stats of the day together and shit.
We're gonna touch on Floyd, right? We can touch on it, right?
Touch on what?
Floyd and the exhibition he got going.
No, I'm not talking about neither one of the Paul
God,
brothers.
No.
I'm not,
what
bro.
What the Paul brothers do to you?
We ain't even trying to have a show tonight, is he, man?
I'm saying,
you,
like, the Paul
brothers don't do nothing. Out of all fucking people in this world, you want to talk about Jake and Logan fucking Paul?
I mean, what they're doing to YouTubers?
But it sets me up. You want me to go get my shirt on? Let me go put my Jake Paul shirt on.
Jake Paul shirt?
I have one. When Mason was into it, I bought a matching tee for he and I both. And I wear that sumbitch to, like, basically shit in. Is what I do. But I do have that bitch.
Bullshit.
Actually, I give him props on his clothing. His damn clothing was actually decent. Like, he had some decent shit. Like material-wise is what I'm saying. Like, he had some good shit. It wasn't cheap shit.
I think the guy's a genius, but...
I think anybody who puts themselves in a multi-million-dollar scheme is a genius.
Exactly.
I mean, I can't. I don't. Do I like him? Would I like to fight him in a ring? Oh, fucking yeah. But do I give him props for what he did for himself in regards to, this whole genre of influencer bullshit? Yeah, I give him props.
I fight him in the ring in a heartbeat, and he's gonna beat me. But the payday is gonna be crazy.
I'm saying right now, I'm sleeping that motherfucker.
You're not landing a clean
punch. I'm telling you right fucking now.
You're not landing a punch on him, man.
I promise you, I'm sleeping him and his brother.
You're not landing a single
punch
on him.
I'm too big to fight Jake Paul. Jake Paul fights like 110, it looks like.
He's like 170.
Holy fuck, I wish this was on the show right now.
Oh, this is going to be for sure. I'm not editing this part out.
Am I too low on the camera or am I good?
Bro, I was just thinking that. I was trying to adjust my chair, but I'm as high
as
my
low?
Chair. I think y'all are fine. Y'all are fine.
Am I good? Because the thing is I jacked it. If y'all seen this rigged up shit I got going on right now, y'all would love this. But I feel like I'm low now. I was trying to get higher because when you watch the videos back, it's like they're up in my fucking nostrils. I don't like it.
All this is going on the show, BT Dubs, because I'm not cutting this out.
Because
I want all our viewers and listeners to know that I was fucking asleep, Jake Paul.
We can talk about it again.
Do you think Chris, you think Jake Paul knocked you out?
Anybody who's boxing training
on the show right now because we're going off the cuff. This is the shit I was talking about right here. Fuck all this written shit. But look, we're making a show right now. We're 15 minutes into the show right now. Do you want to do the segue? You want to do the segue?
Yeah,
Mr. Host? Host for the most?
First of all, isn't your name in the entitlement too?
Every day.
I got it.
Yo, wait. The only reason y'all see me typing is because it's so important. So I had to get my laptop up in case I need to do quick Google search.
Listen, this is going to be another one of those shows where there's going to be typing involved because I just scroll past something and I'm going to shit right now. So we're good.
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to CTN Prevo Sports Podcast. In the words of my great friend, Mr. Prevo, the mics are now hot. Welcome back, Chris. Welcome back, Prevo.
Welcome back, guys. The mics are now hot for sure. Hey, this is another great show that we're going to do. We didn't write shit. We're going off the damn cuff again. We enjoyed it the last time. This will not be a three-hour program.
It can't be. All
right. Nobody in their mama wants to watch a freaking three-hour program, especially with these three assholes on the screen.
So, let me – damn. Anybody who listens and watches knows that I'm a very prepared person. I do. I take pride in preparing this podcast that we do, the show that we do. I take a lot of pride in that. With not doing writing, it makes me feel incomplete. And let me tell you why. So I'm sitting here trying to segue myself into something, and I have no dialogue in front of me. I have no dialogue to segue myself into. I'm just kind of like, let me Google, shall we? Oh, I have a laptop right next to me, actually.
Akuma just crushed another homer. That's the end of the season.
So, we know that we covered the NFL draft day one last week. We did not do day two and three because, quite frankly,
we have to work and pay for
something. We got jobs.
Yeah.
I got bills and three kids.
I wanted to make sure that I wasn't the only one that was going to say that. So I am going to go through the top 10 picks that are finalized. Everything's finalized. Everything's good. Some contracts are out. Some are not. I know Trevor Lawrence got a 4-year deal or $36 million guaranteed. His whole rookie contract guaranteed. No shit. So the top 10 goes in this order. Now, I do have my mock pulled up just to see where I'm at with it. I threw this idea at Chris and I never threw it at Prevo. Prevo, if you want to compare your mock as well. Because I'm going to let you guys know right now, I was horrendously wrong.
We all
I feel like
he was more right than us, though.
I got a few more right. I went and listened back just to the mock draft part. Prevo got probably the most right.
I did terrible.
Because he had Lance going 3. Neither one of us had Lance at 3.
That's probably
So Trevor Lawrence went number 1. That's what I had. I think Prevo did as well. So did Chris. We all three had Zach Wilson at 2. Prevo was the only one that got the third pick, Trey Lance, right? I had Mac Jones, and I believe so did Chris.
I had Fields.
Ah, Chris Fields. Kyle Pitts, we all got that right, I believe. We all took Pitts. I had Cincinnati taking Penei Sewell. They took Ja'Marr Chase. I had Miami taking Rashawn Slater or Devontae Smith. They took Jalen Waddle. Who'd you have them taking, Bruno?
Oh, God. Hold on. Let me pop off here. Look, I didn't even pull mine up.
Damn, yeah, I didn't look at either. See, but if I went off the top of my head, I want to say I had them taking Slater. I know I had Slater going high.
Well, they took Penei Sewell.
I can't remember.
Yo, Prevo, your dog is tripping, ain't he?
Why what?
Hey, your dog or Chris?
No, it's
name
it's
my dog.
It's Cash. Yeah, I don't know. He's a testosterone puppy, and he thinks he's that guy.
So then I had Carolina taking Oliveira Tucker. They took J.C. Horn. I had Denver taking Justin Fields. Denver took Patrick Surtain. at 9. And at 10, I had Dallas taking Micah Parsons. They end up trading with Philly to get Devontae Smith. I've met that dog.
This fat head.
Hey, don't say Patrick Surtain around Cowboys fan. I've learned that. They don't like when I bring up his name.
We don't want to talk about that. Listen, I'll say this about the draft in general. When you go back and, like, you had a couple days to kind of look over it, it made a little more sense. I get it. Some of it I'm still kind of like, what the hell? But, you know, it is what it is. I think, end result in every draft is we'll see, you know, who rises and who falls flat on their face. I think once the season gets started, it'll be fun to go back as you always do and kind of look again. My God. You kind of go back and you look again at the picks that you made. And then the real picks that were, done that night, and then you kind of see where they're at, getting a season to season and towards the end. That would be fun to do, especially on the show, to kind of break that down and see who really did rise up, show and prove. There's a lot of mouth going on, through all of them. They're all arrogant. And they all want to come out and bust the gate wide ass open, but you know as well as I do, there ain't going to be a handful of them that actually do it.
Right. Chris, what are your thoughts on the draft this year?
I mean, it was some questionable decisions, and I always feel like in the draft, I feel like if you have somebody on your board that you believe is your guy, I believe you do whatever it takes to move up and get them. I feel like the Cowboys really wanted Patrick Surtain. If I was in that situation, I mean, Michael Parsons, I would have been cool with that pick too, though. So, I mean, I guess I understand it because you still had what most people believe is the best defensive player on the board. So I understand that, but I always believe in the draft. You go up and you get the person that you want.
After the first round, the next day I watched the second round. I watched some of the second and third.
Second round was better.
Yeah. So, but here's why. My thing is, when I was watching the second day, everybody had Micah Parsons rated as the best athlete all-around player in the draft. Mel Kiper and Todd McShay both had him as the all-around best player in the draft.
I mean, when you look at it, because what they talk about a lot is his sideline to sideline speed, and that's the most important thing about a linebacker, like sideline to sideline, because you see, like, I feel like linebacker is probably the easiest position to evaluate just as a fan, because you can see a linebacker is going to pop off the screen. If they're making plays, they're literally going to pop off the screen. So, sideline speed, that's the most important thing.
I think the thing with him, because I saw them, blowing his spot up hardcore after the fact. I think the thing with him is that the way I would put it is the potential to be the next great, best athlete, yada, yada, everything they were saying. The potential's there, yeah. We'll see.
So,
he has some Manu off the field issues too. So, we'll see if that kind of segues. You know how it is, man. They get the damn NFL, they get that freedom. I mean,
that's in line for the Cowboys, though. Off the field issues.
All right. So, do you guys, since we're doing this unprepared, I have to drink this off camera because they don't pay me. But,
there's not anything in my hand I'm getting paid for right now. Arctic Cup, Bud Lights over here.
But you know,
do you guys have
conflict of interest, you know?
Yeah, I do have a very much conflict of interest.
We got sponsors we don't have in Europe.
I got one, man.
You got a sponsor.
Look, there's not many people that want to sponsor a sports podcast. I've tried.
They don't want to sponsor a sports podcast that talks the way we do, maybe.
Right. Listen, all night.
If Crown Royal ever wants to do anything, I would literally wear nothing but Crown Royal t-shirts for the rest of my life.
You look like Prince. You look like Prince every time you
come. But do you guys have a sleeper of the draft that you thought was a?
I still stick with any. I think anybody out of the top. I don't know. It's always a second round deal for me. I think anybody out of the second round is one of those that could come. You know, because they're the ones. The second and the third round both are the ones that they really have a chip on their shoulder because they feel like they should have been in the first round. Some of them. So I take anybody.
You don't have a specific player?
I don't know, not really.
Chris, you got one?
I would say what I said, I remember when we did the pod, not the last pod, but the one before that, and we were talking about sleepers, and somebody I thought it was going to be a third round pick was the D tackle out of USC, Jay Tufili or whatever.
Jay Tufili, he went 106 to Jacksonville.
Yeah, so I like that pick. I think it's sleeper, but if I had to look at anybody, day two, I know day two round in the second round, I was shocked to see Asante Samuel Jr. fall as far as he did, and I wanted to get him.
Right.
So if it's anybody who I think is a sleeper, probably is going to be Asante Samuel Jr. I don't think he should have fell that far. I mean, I thought he was going to be gone by the time we picked in day two, and we picked like six in day two. So
I got two, and they're coming from the fourth round. I think two people in the fourth round that could have went late second, early third. And the Panthers got where's that? Hold on. I just have it. I'll make sure I get the pick right. So they got the running back out of Oklahoma State at 126. What the hell is his name? I can't find it now. Fuck, I can't remember his name. Oh, I'll find it. Give me a second. And then Amara St. Brown also went to the Lions a few picks before that in the fourth round. So they got your boy some weapons out there, because they also, yeah, they got your boys. They got Jared Goff some weapons out there.
I was surprised to see Tar Heels making it into the fourth round.
I mean, the Tar Heels gonna have the number one pick next year, so
who?
Why do we've done this before?
You think Sam Howell's in the number one pick next year?
He's gonna be the number one pick next year.
I thought he's top three.
I don't think he's top three.
I don't know, man.
Well, how about this? What we're going to do is, since everything's opening up, me and you can catch it. We're going to catch a game this year. We're going to go down and catch Carolina and catch a game so you can see them in person.
You guys know I don't give a fuck about Carolina football. I might wear a Duke shirt just to be a dickhead. Don't know. But what I do
– wear the USC shirt and I'll be fine, but you're not getting in my car with a Duke shirt at home.
Real talk. I don't give a fuck about either, about none of that. I don't care about Carolina football, but I do like Sam Howell. I do. But I think he's another Mitch Trubisky type. All the makings of Mitch Trubisky.
Now, Mitch Trubisky didn't have the same coaching coming out of college. And if you look at it, Mitch Trubisky's not a bad quarterback. I mean, I can make the argument that Mitch Trubisky is more successful than Sam Darnold.
Here we go. God, listen there. This is three damn shows in a row we're doing. Three shows in a row.
So the guy – the top quarterback –
He has no argument. He knows it's true.
It's true. It's not at all. Mitch Trubisky just got paid $500,000. He's going to be Josh Allen's backup.
He's also a Pro Bowler.
Sam –
Mr. Brisky made the Pro Bowl.
Did you just say a fucking pro? That's like calling Anderson Varejao a fucking NBA All-Star.
Well, damn it.
He made it one time.
Let me switch the gears on this wagon. So let me ask y'all this. Since we're doing this with no script, as everybody can fucking see. Do y'all think Jacksonville did exactly what they needed to do to put that franchise back where it needs to be?
Jacksonville had the best draft they could have.
They killed it. Yeah.
That was the best team draft because I was just gonna make that point of what Chris was just saying. You drafted Trevor Lawrence first overall, right?
You got the running back. You got Travis.
You got the Travinity, which baller. Then in the fourth round, like Chris said, you got Jay Toufoulet, who is I mean, I'm sorry, but this dude is 6'6", 375 pounds, and moves like a running back.
The thing is if anybody wanted to see what the Clemson Tigers look like as a professional ball team, they're getting ready to see it.
And the thing is with Toufoulet is you got to look at it. He didn't play last year, but last time he played, he was first team All Pac-12. Like, he's a stud.
He was first team, and he was a consensus All-American.
Every fucking thing they got was a stud, dude. You got the dynamics of a quarterback running back combo that is so comfortable in themselves. It's like they're sitting on the couch together eating fucking potato chips, watching a movie.
Oh, no. I'm going to tell you right now.
Ridiculous what they just did.
That division belongs to Jacksonville.
It's theirs to lose if you want mine.
Bro, the Colts are going to suck this year.
No, they're not.
The Texans are going to blow this. The Texans got – they're about to start a quarterback out of Stanford who threw 10 picks against USC.
Exactly. And you're not going to see Deshaun Watson this year.
You're not going to see Deshaun Watson. And then Tennessee. The Titans, you can't run King Henry 55,000 times in the season and expect to have success.
Hey, let me put this down. I'll give you a shocker really fast. I bet Henry gets hurt.
I agree.
I hate to shit on his career, but I bet he gets fucking hurt.
He's going to get that CMC syndrome.
They're dogging his ass too much.
The only reason Christian McCaffrey look, and that's why that was the sleeper pick of the draft to me.
Right.
Was that running back from Oklahoma State, because now you can take some of the pressure off of Christian McCaffrey.
If he shows up.
Let me just go ahead and put this out there. I think the Colts win the division. And I need the Colts to win the division. If the Colts win the division, that means Carson Wentz is playing good. Carson Wentz plays 75. No, listen, this is not about Wentz. If Carson Wentz plays 75% of the Colts snaps, then I get a first-round pick from the Colts next year. So I need the Colts to do good.
They're not going to win that division.
I think it's their division to lose.
You know who else did really good in the draft?
Who?
The Jets.
The Jets. Oh, Barrow Tucker. I didn't think Elijah Vera Tucker was going to be there.
Tucker and Wilson in the first round? That's a hell of a combo first round.
I didn't think Tucker was going to be there. To be honest,
I didn't either.
I did not. I didn't. So, I mean, I thought that was a good value for that pick.
Why'd you got to go and piss three ball off, man?
And the thing is, I wasn't even talking about Wentz. I was talking about the Eagles.
And look, and they got Eli Moore, a wide receiver out of Ole Miss in the second round.
I think they're trying to do everything they didn't do for Donald.
Which is just showing. Oh, look, Kyle Trask to Tampa. I like.
No, we gotta wait till Prevost back on camera to talk about that. But that's his guy.
I don't know if he's coming back, Chris. I think he ruined the night for him.
There he goes. Hey, wait, say it.
I think you ruined the fucking night for him.
All right, you can say it now.
I'm creeping back in. Are we done? Because I gave y'all plenty of time. One got me a fresh cold one. Like, are y'all done with the shit? I'm not.
We wasn't even talking about him.
No, we were talking about if Wentz plays 75% of the snap, the Eagles get a first-round pick.
That's what we were talking about. We weren't talking about Wentz.
You know what I think it is that, like, when I hear his name, I get this cringing sensation the same way when I hear Cam Newton's name. It's not as bad. Cam has dissipated. We talked about this season. Cam has dissipated. Maybe Carson will come around. But I think the thing that drives me nuts about Carson Wentz, I've said this before, and I've said this to Chris before, and I think it's very argumentative in a positive way, is I just really think it's overrated as hell.
All right, I'm moving on. I'm not doing this. Yeah, I can't do this tonight.
You should. Because I don't want to that's Chris's boyfriend, and I don't want to make you mad.
Let's get into Kyle Trask.
So, Prevo, you were high on Kyle Trask for some reason. I don't know why. Never really understood why. he, again, Mitch Trubisky, one good year, and you get drafted. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand.
But the thing is that...
Okay, wasn't he Filippo Frank's backup last year?
What?
Trask was the starter. And Florida had a good year last year, too.
Nah. Trask, he's more cocky than his skill level is. He feels like he's a Trevor Lawrence-esque type guy, and he's like more like a... He's more like a fucking.
Don't say it.
Who are you? Think I was gonna say?
Because if I felt like he was gonna throw Baker Mayfield name out there, not really.
No, Baker Mayfield. I can throw Baker Mayfield's name wherever the fuck I want to throw it.
Dude, listen. I'm gonna tell you what. I'm gonna be an arrogant dick right quick. I'm taking away your pissed on Baker Mayfield card because this man just made history in the Cleveland Browns. He took an organization after being there for how many seasons has he been there? 3 years? 4 years?
Three years.
Whatever. 3 to 4 years. And he took the organization.
He came in the same draft as Darnold.
He took the organization to a playoff run. Fuck that. Give him credit, man. He's a decent quarterback. I never said he was great. He's a decent quarterback and he's making.
He had everything handed to him.
It's only been 3 years.
Oh, my God. Nobody makes it to the NFL off of getting shit handed to him.
He's a two-time walk-on.
He's not Johnny Manziel.
I would personally take Johnny.
I like Johnny, Baker. Man.
And you know what? You fucking would.
End the show. He probably would take it. Never mind. I'm not going to get back into it.
But I would absolutely take Johnny over Baker Mayfield Monday through Friday.
Kyle Trask. Let's just get back on Kyle Trask. Let's get back on topic. Because I thought that was a good value because you know you're not gonna ask Kyle Trask to play right away. He's gonna at least have 2 years before he even have to step foot on the field.
Right. So I think he becomes the best quarterback in this draft.
I still say whoever got with Kyle Trask. But he got weapons though.
Yeah, it's over. It's over. There is no more question of who the best quarterback is gonna become. If this kid has any head on his shoulder, I'm talking about like any. He will do what Jimmy Garoppolo did, but stay healthy and not date porn stars. Because Jimmy G, when he went out to San Fran, he looked like the next best thing. When he took over for Brady, he looked like the next best thing. Now he's fucking like Lana, whatever her name is. I Googled her name the other day to have a more accurate description to talk shit about her.
Stop.
You know she's a retired porn star, by the way. So we can't really back.
You're talking about getting sponsors right now. We're talking about this. That's not. Stop.
Sorry, I'm just saying. Stop. She's retired. Stop. Anyway, so. If this kid has any head on his shoulders, he'll be learning from the greatest quarterback to have ever walked the face of planet Earth. And he'll soak up every bit of information. Same thing with Jordan Love. Same thing I told Prevo about Jordan Love when Jordan Love got drafted. I said, if this kid has any intelligence, he will potentially be the best quarterback to walk in that draft, which I still think he will become.
But the thing is, Brady can give him everything he wants, but at the end of the day, if he's not willing to put the work in, because that's the greatest thing about Brady, is what he does to his body, the amount of work that he put in. And Kyle Trask, he has everything around him, a good offensive line, weapons, he has a defense. You literally have everything set up for you to see. All you got to do is go out there and not lose games.
Right. I don't know. What do you think about that, Prevo? What do you think about him falling to the second round?
I just said it a second ago. I think I don't have a problem with players. And I did. I was high on Trask. And I'm still high on him. Because when you look at the dynamics of the kid, the potential's there. And that's the biggest thing I keep saying is the potential. If you look at your some of your marquee quarterbacks, you're looking at Tom Brady. You're looking at Dak Prescott. Some of these guys that fell back in the draft scenarios and they came out with a chip on the shoulder. Aaron Rodgers was another one. And then on top of that, he was, and I know we're getting to him in just a second, and it wasn't scripted, but we did talk about it a minute ago. When you think about guys like that are coming out and they don't go where they think they should go, they come out, they've got the chip, and it's showing proof time. Trask has the potential. I'm not saying he's going to do it. I'm just saying he has the potential to do so. And do I think he's in a great spot? Oh, my God. Yes, he needs to be a mother-loving sponge.
Another thing that with that and soaking up the stuff from Brady, I said the quote Nas, it's hard for one of the greats to tell somebody how to be great.
You can't tell somebody how to be great. When Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Wilt Chamberlain, you know, Elgin Baylor, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Shaq, I can go through the damn list. When all these guys came in, nobody was teaching them how to be great. They were just giving them little nuggets.
You can't
to be great.
Yeah, you can't teach somebody. Like, and look, Prevo, you and I have had a conversation before. I believe Chris is with us. I can't, if I have to tell you to go be great, and I got to tell you to work hard, then you're not worth the work. No. If you have to be motivated and pushed, you're not worth the work.
I like that.
Nobody should be giving pass on the ass to go do something. No. You should already be doing it.
So I get questions about this tattoo a lot. This one on the praying hands with the basketball on top. I get a lot of questions about it. And people are always like, oh, why do you have that? What are you praying to a basketball? I've heard all the stupid ass questions why I have it. The reason I bring it up is because the reason I got the tattoo was from a former basketball trainer of mine. It was Tookie Burden. Chris, you being a Knicks fan, you should know who this is. He went to school at Utah. He went to Utah, all-time great at Utah, got drafted by the Knicks. Played for the Knicks. Tore his ACL in both knees. They rushed him back in 4 months. He never played the game of basketball again, right? He moved. He's from here in Winston. So when I moved to Winston, we started getting trained by him. And he used to tell us, he was like, man, if I have to ask you if you're coming to work out tomorrow, then don't even bother showing up. If I don't know that you're going to be here, then I'm not even going to waste my time. So that's what kids and stuff nowadays and people in this draft have to realize, because you got even Justin Fields. Justin Fields went 10th to Chicago. Andy Dalton ain't a bad person to learn behind. Not saying he's the greatest quarterback ever, but he's been in the league, 10 fucking years?
He's made the playoffs.
He damn near took Dallas to the playoffs.
And you got a coach in Matt Nagy who's learned under Andrew Reid. So you just got to soak up all the knowledge you can. Keep in mind, even though you're a first-round pick, you haven't made it. You made it, but you haven't made it yet. You still got to make a name for yourself in the league.
Right. So let's go ahead. Actually, let's touch on something that Prevo brought up before we got on here. I'll go ahead and we'll talk about it. I know we're going to switch from NFL to basketball, whatever, back and forth. So Nike decided to not renew their deal with Kobe. Kobe did not get the lifetime stamp that Jordan, LeBron, such guys like that got. Steph has a lifetime deal with Under Armour. Braun has a lifetime deal with Nike. I can't remember who else has a lifetime deal with Nike. KD has a lifetime deal with Nike.
Oh.
But you don't. But they signed Kobe to an 11-year, $330 million deal, which ran out this year. What are the thoughts on Nike? In my eyes, essentially saying, fuck you, Kobe, you're not good to us anymore because you're not here anymore. You're dead, so you're not worth us. I don't understand what the fuck happened here. Because if I'm not mistaken, Kobe's one of the highest selling shoes in the world, isn't it?
He has been for sure over the last, I think they
20
said,
years.
Well, I don't know.
I think it's between him or Jordan in the past 20 years.
They've gone back and forth. But I'm like talking recent. And this is even before his passing. I think he had taken the lead in shoe sales. We'll just say the last 4 or 5 years, I think. Don't quote me. I don't have any basis for that, nor do I have a pulled up. Are we going off of an opinion with this? Because I can turn the phone around and I can show you I have nothing pulled up on this right now. I wanted to do this solely based on no facts whatsoever, and I wanted to go because I read the fucking article in regards to Nike and the fact that they weren't going to put a lifetime contract on. if we're going opinion based, then, you know, if someone wants to go before me, go ahead, because mine's not going to be positive.
Well, I would say this. I want to know, I need to know the details of the contract, because apparently Vanessa Bryant's like, is basically saying, you know, she's not, like, they weren't trying to compensate them enough for what the Kobe brand and everything was able to do, because of the simple fact of, she was like, okay, his shoes are selling out every time you put them out in about 25% of the league, whereas Kobe's. So, I mean, that's, when you look at that, that's a large majority, like 25% is a lot. That's huge. And I thought about it, and then I had to think about it for myself. When I hoop, you know what shoes I hoop in? I hoop in Kobe's. And that's the look. And to be honest with you, that's the only low top basketball shoes. That's the only low top basketball shoes I ever see anybody play basketball in.
But I got a closet right here where my finger is. Guarantee I got 6, 7, 8 pairs of Kobe's sitting in there.
The best hooping shoes, without question.
And I'm telling you right now, I have the worst ankles on this show.
But I will wear those. I will wear them.
But proudly. I will late. Look, matter of fact, I was supposed to go hoop a couple days ago. I didn't. Fuck it. Whatever. I ain't gonna lie. And you know the shoes I grabbed and put in my bag when I was bagging to go hoop?
The Kobe's.
Christmas Kobe 10.
And you see me, I don't even lace them up.
No, Chris leaves them bitches. I'm talking about like, I don't even know how he walks without them just flopping.
I might actually wear those tomorrow.
But so my thing is, to me, as somebody who, I mean, these two gentlemen know Nike is one of the biggest brands that I wear. This is what it is. I've always worn it. It makes me take a step back and think, like, if Jordan didn't become who Jordan was, right? Let's just say he copped an ACL tear. Right, and didn't win 6 rings. Would Nike have kept the contract with him, even though he was as influential as he was?
Yeah, but the thing was, is let me correct you. That wasn't an ACL tear. He had an Achilles tear.
No, I'm talking about if Jordan just derailed his career towards the end. Like started getting hurt and stuff like that, like Kobe did. Like he had the 6 rings, but he started looking like sad ass Kobe instead of 8 Kobe that would 360 between your legs on your fucking forehead.
Well, I mean, I don't know that any of the basis of what I have to say has anything to do with any of that. Jordan won 6. He's arguably one of the greatest of all time, and I'm being very fucking PC right now, because God knows we've spent a plethora of time on the GOAT status. You know, between, you know, Kobe and Jordan, just on them two alone, which I think that the only two you need to talk about anyway. But as from a standpoint of if Jordan went out earlier than what he did, because I don't even, when I talk about Jordan, I don't even talk about the Washington Wizards. The shoes were clean, but that's about as far as I go with that. But if he would have won 5, had an injury like that, and then came back and kind of finished his career in that magnitude, and then unfortunately was, you know, killed, I don't know, because it's different for me, and here's why: because there's that age thing again. I grew up. I didn't grow up in Kobe's. I grew up in Jordan's. I was around when the ones came out, and they were $65 at Cotton Mill Square in Greensboro, and I couldn't afford to get them. I grew up, you know, when the ugly ass 2s came out, and I didn't want anything to do with them. And then I grew up, when I saw the 3s drop, I literally lost my fucking mind, and I had to have 3 colors, and I've been rocking 3s from 1987 until this day. I just showed them on a show that we did last time, but that clip didn't air. But they're in my closet. I've got multiple 3s in my closet right now. 3, 4, 5, and 6s. 3, 4, 5s, and 6s are my favorite. So, But I think the thing is that I think when Jordan did it, it was a different time frame. It was a different. He was getting fined for things that made his aura and era of changing the game in shoes that much bigger. You also have to think, man, back in the damn 80s and the late 80s and early 90s, nobody was wearing anything else. The biggest thing next to what Jordan had on was like, in the 80s anyway, was like the damn Converse that Magic Johnson was rocking. So, you know, the plethora of basketball shoes was not prominent back then. When you got up in y'all's generation and into the 2000s, late 90s and 2000s and you know, mid 2000s and stuff like that, the game was so different at that point. But I also give Kobe kudos for what he did. He went to Adidas to begin with, wore that shoe, which was garbage, for X amount of years. I don't know how it played. I never put it on. But it looked like shit in a box.
It looked like tinfoil wrapped around the hot dog.
Yeah, it was fucking horrible. That but anyway, awful. And then he went to Nike, and he started wearing Huarache 2K4s. Fucking loved them. I had 12 damn pair of them in all colors you could imagine. And then he finally got to the point where he started donning his own shoe. I got two pair of Kobe's in there right now that have literally become two of my favorite basketball shoes past my prime of ever playing. And I wish I could have gone back and played in them in my prime. But that's the thing. Kobe making the difference, and I know I'm like dragging this out, but it is what it is. It's a bona fide fact. Kobe making the difference that he did in the shoes when he did it holds more significance to me than what Jordan did when he did. Jordan owned the game of shoes. He owned that shit.
He birthed it.
Nobody else ever did what he did, and nobody else will ever do what he did. Nobody.
He birthed it.
Even fucking LeBron. Nobody's ever going to do it. When Kobe came in and Kobe built these shoes, Kobe took a shoe and turned it into a low-top shoe. Nobody wore low-tops, man. Nobody. Jordan before him was the closest thing to a low-top, and it was actually still a mid-cut when he brought out the threes and the fours. The threes and the fours were cut just below the ankle, and that was considered a low-top back then. When Kobe changed the shoe up, he went to a legitimate low-top, and when I wore them, look, I was sitting there going, damn, I wish I could go back 15 years and rock these things when I was playing. I think that's the parallel. When you do a parallel to it, you cannot take away from what Kobe did in the shoe game. And we're not talking basketball. We're just talking shoes right now. You can't take away from what he did in the shoe game. He's just as significant in Jordan in the shoe game as Jordan was in the shoe game. That's my opinion. Nike, go fuck yourself. You dropped the ball on this. You pissed on a guy's legacy. And I don't know why. I don't understand it. I can't fathom it. And it has nothing to do with his untimely death. You shit on a guy who recreated basketball. I don't care how many moves he stole from Jordan. He still recreated the game of basketball, and he did it through a sneaker. That's why 25% of the league wears his shoes and not Jordan. They have Jordans as collectibles. Jordans are in their closet. They wear them shits to the game. When they wear in-game shoes, it's Kobe's. That's the validated point that people need to be making. When they come down the ramps and they come down to the entranceways, they're rocking these badass J's. When they step foot on the court, they got Kobe's on their fucking feet.
That's why people are just going to go buy the brand that he's making or that Miss Vanessa Bryant's making.
I don't understand why you dropped the ball on that. And I have lost a lot of respect for Nike over the years. And I'm still the Jordan guy. I love them. Trust me, I love them. But it's there's a different kind of love, and it's because I grew up with them from going to a point where I couldn't afford them to when I can afford them, and that is what it is. But you took a guy who literally changed the landscape of your business and your company, and he made it better, and he passed. He died. He unfortunately died with his daughter on top of that. And you didn't have the couth about you as a multi-billion dollar company to look at what's left of the of Kobe's legacy in Vanessa and the remainder of his children, and you couldn't come out and say, hey, listen, no matter what, We're going to keep him going as a legacy base and Mamba mentality, which changed the landscape of so many NBA players, whether it's men or women or kids. You couldn't keep that going. You couldn't keep that going. You couldn't go to Vanessa and sit down and go, I don't give a shit what you want. You name it and we'll make it happen because that's who we are as a brand. You couldn't do
give
that.
Give him a blank check.
So fuck you.
And let me say, Jordans aren't comparable to hooping at all. I don't know how Jordan played him.
Listen, they were great back in the day because it was the best thing was out on the market at that point in time. When you put a pair of those retros on right now, and they're not made the same, but when you put a pair of those on and you compare them to, I'll even compare them to a Kobe Bryant shoe. I know the PG1s were badass too. I was told
PG1s are dope. I had a pair.
Yeah. So when you stack, I tell you what, I'll go in and I'll get them Grey Wolf Cheetahs right now and I'll bring them out. That right there, that's the most comfortable fucking basketball shoe I've ever had on my damn foot. By far.
So, you know who else? Real quick. So Kyrie got a dope shoe too. Kyrie's shoes are dope.
Yeah.
They actually feel good.
Kai's shoes are nice. I fuck with the Kyrie's.
I love the way they look. My middle son got them out. He had 25 pair of them, but I never.
So
I heard my oldest boy wore the PG1s. So they were fucking amazing.
So I said this last show, and I'm gonna hold up my end. So I said I was gonna talk about Steph Curry for a second, just because of the shit I heard. I don't know if you guys have heard it. Pretty well, and I talked about it before.
You're not gonna force anything on Kobe right now, as an advocate as you are.
Absolutely not. I said it before. I have no comment about Nike. It's not worth my time.
All right. So I know you, and Chris knows you. So I respect. I know what's.
Yeah, it's worth. It's not worth my time personally.
I get it.
But so remember in 2015 when Steph was a unanimous MVP? You guys remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You know what he averaged stats wise that year?
I don't know. He's averaging more.
30.1, 5.4 assists or rebounds and 6.7 assists that year. You know what he's averaging this year? Just by random chance.
I'm
just curious. I have it, so I'm just curious.
I don't know.
So he's averaging almost 32 points a game, 5.5 rebounds, and 5.8 assists, and they're the seventh seed in the West, about to play LeBron in a play-in game.
Oh, LeBron just moved up to five. Think again.
Until he loses tonight, because him and AD are both out.
Again.
So go ahead. He's going to be right back down to seven. So when he goes to seven and Steph goes to eight, Steph knocks him out the playoffs. I'm just curious: are people finally gonna get off Steph's nuts about not being the greatest point guard to ever touch a basketball?
He's not,
because he's carrying. Here's how you break down the Warriors roster: it's Steph Curry, and then the rest are nobodies.
He's not the greatest point guard to touch a basketball.
He's the greatest point guard to ever touch a basketball.
He's the most influential point guard to ever touch a basketball.
He's the most influential player ever.
An argument can be made, but I'm
you name can one. Still how can you argue Jordan?
Listen,
so
I think I'm with you.
Hold on, I just want to break it down from a fundamental standpoint, real quick.
Are we talking about just the game of basketball? Or are we talking about the cultural aspect of basketball?
Talking about the game of basketball. The game, how the game is played. Steph Curry.
I'm with you. Steph Curry.
So before Steph came into the league. Check in. Before Steph came into the league, teams were shooting 400 threes a season. You do that. Or 500 threes a season. You do that math. That's like seven a game. They're shooting 52 threes a game now.
I'm on your side.
You're saying, bro. I'm just tired of it. Because Prevo has been on podcast with me when I have been, I'm talking like fumigating that. Because here's my thing. When people say the most slandered superstar for no reason, it is Stephen Wardell Curry II.
Steph Curry eliminated the center position.
Steph Curry made it cool to be cool. Hear what I just said and listen to it again. He made it cool to be cool. Before him, it was Iverson.
With
the hitting the bink on Jordan or stepping over Ty Lue, making him his bitch. Either way you look at it, I'm cool with it. Steph will literally hit a three, turn around,
Millie rocking your fucking face and then hit another one 3 seconds later. He made it cool to be cool in basketball again. Okay. He made it fun to play.
All right. So I'm going to interject really fast with just a minute snippet. Okay. I don't know if I've said this on the show before. I'm pretty sure I've said this to either CT or Chris. I think it was CT. I don't know if I did or not. I've said this to somebody. I'm just hoping that it was one of y'all. When Steph first came in the league and Steph started to show that he was actually a Curry that could play basketball, because we all know that Jordan wiped his ass with his father.
But his dad was a knockdown, though.
Jordan wiped his ass with his father.
Jordan wiped his ass with everybody in the 90s, man.
Right, but you're validating the point that I'm getting ready to make. So listen, so I said to whoever that Steph Curry in the beginning, I gotta say this, fucking CP will go off on a damn tirade of a rampage if I don't say this all politically correct. I said in the beginning, when Steph first started coming into the league and showing that he was a baller, I said he reminded me of Reggie Miller.
I agree.
Snippet. Look, no, you already turned that fast.
That's the most accurate comparison.
Okay.
He's my second favorite.
The way they flail.
Right. But I think Steph Curry is an all around way better player than Reggie Miller. So, my question is this. If you're doing if we're going to do a Jordan and Lord knows, I'm talking about going off the cuff on something, that sucks ass because this should have been had research done to it. If you're going to do a Jordan and this Curry, Stephen Curry comparison, can you even do it?
I'm not making a player comparison. I would never do that. Because Steph is 6'3", 120 pounds with two breaks and soaking wet pants.
Well, but the thing is
I'm talking influential because
Allen didn't do shit but one fucking play on Jordan and he never did anything else past.
Shaq's the most dominant basketball player to ever touch a basketball. Like when you think of a guy who can catch that bitch, drop step, elbow you in your fucking throat, then nutsack you to the face on a dunk, and then get the ball thrown at him, and then the guy apologize, that's dominant. You're the most dominant basketball player to ever touch a basketball.
Do you agree with that, Chris?
What, that Shaq's the most dominant?
Yeah.
You can argue, Will.
So, but I have one more thing that both of you are going to look at me.
Yeah, I don't see. CT and I talked about this. We should say this for another NBA show. Because this is the shit that I will talk about the NBA is when you take the past to the present. I've never been up on Wilt. CT and I have talked about this.
I feel you because Wilt was like 7 inches taller than everybody.
Let me throw another thing at you that you guys are going to think I'm crazy. Steph Curry is the most unguardable basketball player ever. Call it what you want.
I don't know if I can argue with that. But here's why.
Because call it what you want. I'm looking at – hold on. Real quick. I'm looking at this streak right here. 37, 41, 32, 38, 53, 42, 33, 47, 49, 32, 37, 27, 37, 30, 40.
But, yeah, I can make the argument. Steph Curry, I can't say he's the most unguardable player ever because his performance in the final allowed Matthew Dellavedova to make a hell of a lot of money in Milwaukee. Because Matthew Dellavedova
I'm glad you fucking said that. Because actually, I was prepared for that because I knew that's what was going to come up. Did you know that every year that Steph did win finals, he averaged the most points, most assists, and most rebounds?
Listen, I feel like he should have won the first one.
He should have won first, second, and third because Kevin LaBitch didn't do shit.
No, what?
What did KD do? KD averaged 35-4. Steph Curry averaged 31-7-7.
KD should have won those last two, but Steph should have won the first one.
No,
Steph should have won the first one.
So, if we're going to go off of just pure playoff statisticals, this is in the finals against Toronto when he lost Steph, or when he lost Clay, and he lost Kevin Durant. He averaged 28-6-5. 28-6-6, actually, if we're being politically correct, because he averaged 5.9 rebounds, so 6.
You're making this conversation seem like I hate Steph Curry and I don't.
No, I'm not. What I am making it is that finals argument can suck a mean one because Steph Curry is the most valuable player in the NBA. We saw that already because when he was out last year, his team was the number one pick in the draft. We saw that already. take LeBron off the Lakers, they're still going to end up the 6th, 7th seed in the West. Take Steph off the Warriors, they're going from the 8th seed to under hell. Like, let hell me tell you and this. Then under it.
Let me tell you this. I started watching basketball heavy in 08. I think that's when I started falling in love with watching basketball.
That was Kobe years.
And, yeah, he won the MVP that year, and the Celtics won the championship that year.
Yep.
But
Rondo with that crazy ass behind the back to Ray Allen in the corner. Shit's fucking wild. But, that shit like your destiny.
2010, he came into the league. I was in middle school. And I remember after the 2010 season wrapped up, I was banging on my table as a 13-year-old that Steph Curry was the rookie of the year. And he didn't win it. So I was on Steph Curry a long
time. He lost the way. He lost to Tyreek Evans, didn't he?
Tyreek Evans.
Because he was in that class with O.J. Mayo.
Yeah, O.J. Mayo was a hooper for the first couple of years.
O.J. Mayo. Tyreek Evans was, too.
He was. But
in the words of Stephen A. Smith, stay off the weed. You are a professional athlete. Stay your ass off of weed, bro. Like, it's not that important.
But what I say about Steph Curry, man, is the thing is, Steph Curry was good for the game. He was bad for the game. Like I said, he made everybody has to be a skilled player now. He eliminated the center position. Everybody has to be skilled. Everybody has to be able to shoot. But if you look at younger people play, like if you go to the AAU games and whatnot, or you just go to a gym, everybody starts with shooting the three now. And that's the thing. It looks like a lot of the fundamentals is lost.
Where does everybody think I get my playing ability from, bro? Growing up in Southern California, I watched Steph Curry play. I watched Kobe play. So, Chris, you played with me before. You guys have heard me tell stories. What is the one thing I say that I did a lot? I shot that bitch a lot. I don't know if I like it. Exactly. And I shot that shit a lot. Now I can do anything.
Which is what's funny, though. And again, it goes back to this generational thing because
right. We
were the complete opposite. When I played the game of basketball in my 20s, which was my best years, I've said this a couple times on these shows. I never go back to when, if this damn app pops up one more time on my damn computer, I swear to God, I'm going to put a bullet. So I've said this multiple times on these shows. My prime was not when I was a teenager. My prime was not coming up through the ranks of high school. I didn't play that much in high school. But when I played in the rec league later, and then when I played at Charter Hospital with a group of guys that were literally active foreign players, they played overseas. When I was in my early 20s to mid 20s were my best years. There was no perimeter. The only time you took a perimeter is when you had to. There was not guys that were going to shut you down going to the inside. And that right there was the breakdown of the difference in the game itself. That was when you watched Jordan for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, and it was dry penetration, some crazy-ass shit, and you made a shot. Dry penetration, some crazy-ass shit, and you made a shot. It was always you penetrate to the rim, you go strong to the hole. That's what basketball was then. Then the game started changing. Jordan, that's what makes him one of the best ever, and Kobe also, is that they took their games from penetration to, okay, well, the landscape's changing. Well, I'm going to eat y'all's fucking lunch out here 15 feet and beyond. And that's right. What they did. That's what they did. That's why it makes them one of the best two players, if not the best two players, and I consider the best two players ever. Steph Curry's another one. If Steph Curry wants to drive to the hole, he can drive it to the hole. But his game is outside.
And so here's my – exactly. And so that's my thing. I think the disrespect that I hear – you know, you guys know I do a lot of research. I do a lot of looking. I look at sports from the time I wake up till damn near the time I go to sleep every day, just looking at random shit. You know, just getting my knowledge better for what I do. This amount of stuff that I've seen written on Steph Curry in the past 2 years about, oh, he's washed, he's this, he's that. People are like, oh, they say the same about LeBron. I'm like, no, you can't say the same because LeBron's in year 17 and LeBron is starting to show his age because LeBron just said in an interview 2 days ago that, oh, my ankle will never be the same in my career. And then is now missing his another game tonight and a game tomorrow due to his ankle injury. Steph Curry had ankle injuries early in his career where so people thought he was going to be a bust. Then he got Dre. Then he got Clay. And then he became – so right now, let me ask you a question, serious question, both of you. Mount Rushmore basketball players. Who's on it?
Well, off the cuff like this?
Who's your Mount Rushmore? Who's your Mount Rushmore? Because we're running out of time here, so we got to get moving.
Are we talking – we're talking of all time.
Your four, five best players. You can do a bonus one if you want.
No order.
This is your best four plus a bonus of all time.
But I'm saying this is not like one through five. We're just throwing random ass fucking.
No, we're just throwing. I don't want nothing but your top players of all time in your opinion.
No particular order.
No, right. I don't give a fuck. You can put them in order. You cannot put them in order. I don't give a shit.
All right, so I'll go Jordan, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, Shaq, and Kobe.
Chris?
Jordan, LeBron, Kobe, and Shaq. Kobe, LeBron, Kobe, Shaq. This may be biased with my fifth one, but fuck it. Allen Iverson.
Biased for sure. So mine is Steph, Kobe, Jordan, Shaq, and my fifth. And people are gonna think I'm fucking crazy. Tim Duncan.
I'm not. I don't think you're crazy.
And I said we were gonna do this next episode. I apologize. We will do it next when we have something planned. All right. I'm gonna let it know. We were not supposed to do a show tonight at all.
No.
Not this. Primo texted us about. Primo texted us about 2 hours ago. I was like, show tonight. And I text Chris privately and I was like, can you get one out? I was like, I don't know if I can. But we all came together and we got one out. But here
I don't have anybody to answer to.
So here's my thing. Here's my question. And I've said this before, and I will continue to say it, and I'll continue to ask the question. What makes your GOAT?
I always tell people this. When I talk about the best, I think Jordan's the GOAT. And when they ask me, okay, but you look at this, I always say, how do you win the game of basketball? You outscore your opponent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to outscore your opponent, what you got to do? You also have to stop your opponent from scoring. And when you look at it, you look at both sides of the ball. Jordan's been a defensive player of the year. He's been all defensive player, double-digit times, and he literally has the highest scoring average over a career. Jordan's a GOAT. So hands down, I mean, that's what makes my GOAT.
So that makes your GOAT. So let me ask you this. If you're looking at it from a statistical and an award point standpoint, what separates Steph from somebody like a LeBron? If we're talking greatest conversations right now, Steph's a two-time MVP, first-time unanimous ever. He's a three-time champion, and he's 3-1 in the finals. He has one loss in the finals.
We're not going to do this argument tonight, but I will tell
you. I'm just curious.
I want you – listen.
Because their career averages are the exact fucking same. LeBron has a career average of 27, 7, and 7. Steph has a career average of 29, 7, and 8.
Do you have your computer in front of you?
I have my computer sitting right here to my right.
I want you to Google the 2007 Cleveland Cavaliers team.
I understand that. That's not what I'm – okay, let's Google the 2020-21 Golden State Warriors.
Bro,
your next best player is a Canadian who never lived up to the hype.
If we're going to do all this, y'all go back to the first three championships that the Bulls won because nobody's beating that fucking team.
Primo, this is what I'm saying, though. This team is better than the team that LeBron had in 07 when he drug them to the finals.
Name one all-star.
Draymond Green's a Hall of Famer.
No, he's not.
He's
a donkey.
Draymond Green will make the Hall of Fame.
No, maybe 10 years after he retires. He ain't first ballot.
So he's a Hall of Famer. LeBron had no Hall of Famers on that squad.
Jarunas Sagaskis make all of them.
Oh my God. What?
So Andrew Bergeau.
What? Can we go to the next topic? I'm so sick of this shit. I don't want to get in this argument with you.
They do the
I don't
same. Want to do this argument. So Larry Hughes won't make the Hall of Fame?
No.
Antoine Jameson won't make the Hall of Fame?
You want to know a crazy thing? None of those players you named are better. And then
Antoine Jameson is definitely better than Draymond Green, bro.
No, he's not. Draymond Green is a two-time defensive player of the year.
Remember when you were in school and that one dude who wasn't supposed to be in your fucking gym class came in there with a backpack on and shot? Remember that? I know you remember that. Because I know you went to a public school.
Yeah, Draymond Green shoot like he got
Draymond jump shot. So just for that, he's automatically disqualified from the Hall of Fame.
He's a two-time defensive player of the year.
He can two-time these nuts. He ain't making a Hall of Fame.
Bro, I'm not doing this with you because it's
– we can do this all day because the one thing that you and Prevo both know is that when it comes down to it, I will pull up every statistical category ever written, and I guarantee you that.
Andrew Wiggins is also better than anybody LeBron has on the team except for Gil.
Andrew Wiggins is a bum.
He is a bum. I hate Andrew Wiggins so much.
Kelly Oubre is a bum. Kent Bazemore is a bum. Melanio is a rookie. You want to keep going? James Wiseman's already hurt. Bust.
Listen, every Clay's time I look
can't
at
stay healthy. Dre can't stay healthy.
Every time I look at the box score and I see Curry drop 40 points, the only thing that stays that like jumps out of my mind is somebody please get Andrew Wiggins out of the fucking league. I'm
telling you right now, if the Warriors would have been smart and drafted LaMelo Ball, they'd have been the fifth seed in the West.
I thought they should have. I don't care about position. Basketball position is at this point.
Because if think about the lineup of this. Steph, LaMelo, Clay, Draymond, and fucking Kenyon Looney. You can throw over at center.
Listen, I don't interject in what I say. I don't watch it the way y'all do. I have admitted this time after time. I am not interested in the NBA. So, but the thing is that if LaMelo would have went side by side with Curry, LaMelo wouldn't be doing what he's doing now. That's a fact.
I firmly disagree. I think he'd be doing more.
Oh, fuck no. No.
LaMelo's a facilitator. Steph likes to run off ball. That match would have been made in fucking heaven. You know, 75% of Steph Curry's career points have came from off ball screens. So Steph doesn't like to have the ball in his hands. Why do you think Dre brings the ball up court? Why do you think Clay guards the best defender on the other team?
Oh, hell, I get that all day. It's always better to be a shooting guard than it is a point guard, especially that's why they entitled it what they entitled. They don't call it that anymore. That's what it used to be called. You were a two guard, which was a shooting guard. You didn't want the fucking ball in your hands until it was time to make a play.
It's positionless basketball now.
There is no position in the basketball anymore.
I agree 100%.
Like Chris said. Because Nikola Jokic from the Denver Nuggets can play 1 through 5.
Right. You have centers play point guard.
Fucking Russell Westbrook.
Or you cannot.
Yeah, Russell Westbrook plays point guard or plays center sometimes. I've seen it.
Well, I don't like it. Did we just turn the whole fucking show into an NBA show?
Well, we turned it into Steph Curry, and then people try to
bang this out. No, you drug on the Steph Curry thing.
And look, fuck both of you. You guys had your deal with wrestling about your rant. I had to get mine out because it's been a while since
years
I had.
Ago. In Atlanta,
I had a reason
Primo, to go off about Steph Curry. Is, nobody said anything bad about Steph Curry. That's why I don't hear.
No, I don't. But he, I don't know what he reads, but he's done this before. Like, he'll come on the show and he'll go off on a fucking tangent.
Skip Bayless.
And I'm sitting here going, I didn't say anything about Steph.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't say anything bad about him.
Fucking Skip Bayless. He's all stupid, dumbass.
You need to call ESPN.
Exactly. It's not awful.
I think he's paid $10 million a year to sit there and sound like a fucking idiot with Shannon Sharpe.
Hey, can we talk about how we think Aaron Rodgers is turning into a fucking pooty poop?
So Aaron Rodgers wants the Packers to fire general manager Brian Gink. I don't even know how to say that. I ain't gonna lie.
Pooty poop.
Cootie poop. Oh, cootie poop. Packers releasing Jake. Oh, I don't know how to say that either. Tamro. Yeah, fuck it. That sounds good. A day after Rodgers publicly praised the receiver was a quote death knell in their relationship. So I'm gonna say what I gotta say first because mine's gonna be quick and sweet. Aaron Rodgers is the Packers to lose. And what I mean by that is, if you would just get the man some fucking help, he wouldn't be mad. Like, if you would have traded up, But if you would have traded up and got Devontae Smith instead of sitting back and drafting, who'd you draft? Hold on. You drafted like fucking some guy from like North Texas Southern Christian University of Tech at the Brotherhood or some shit. It was stupid as fuck. It was some stupid ass college. I'm not about like it was bad. It was bad. Matter of fact, they drafted a defensive back from Georgia.
Not even the best one. They took the second best on his own team.
And you didn't draft a wide receiver. There were so many receivers sitting there at 29.
That's a fact.
You're telling me you couldn't go get a fuck? Who was still there at 29? Because
Elijah Moore won the first round. He ended up, I think.
So just in the second round out of receivers, you had round two out of receivers. You didn't have any receivers. Oh, yeah.
No, Elijah Moore.
Randall Moore. From Purdue.
Elijah Moore was drafted in the second round.
Randall Moore from Purdue was drafted. Dwayne Eskridge out of Western Michigan was drafted. Tutu Atwell from Louisville was drafted. Third round. By the way, what do you guys think of Kellen Mond to the Vikings? Quick little side note while I look this up. Just curious.
I don't care.
What about David? I was just curious. I like him in that system with what's his name, Mike Zimmer.
It's probably one of the better decisions that they've made in the last few years.
There was six wide receivers drafted before the Packers took. There's like eight receivers drafted.
It goes so far beyond this fucking draft.
That's what I'm saying, three fucking years ago.
You've been cutting talent for the last 3 and 4 years.
Aaron Rodgers is the Packers to lose. A-Rod doesn't really want to leave Green Bay. You're just not doing shit for him. If Tom Brady was like, look, I want Michael Thomas, Bruce Arians would say, all right, he'll be here next week.
But there's a difference.
Tomorrow. There is no fucking difference. Listen. We just had this argument about Drew Brees. Prevo, you and I had this conversation. What's separating Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees?
Titles.
MVPs.
Drew Brees has one. They both have one.
MVPs.
Drew has one.
Drew's number one Aaron MVPs. Has
one. Titles.
Titles. They both have one.
I said title. He said fucking MVPs. I said title.
They both have one championship.
Can I say something?
No. Are you talking about Breeze and
Aaron Rodgers? Yeah. What I'm saying is, if Drew Brees was to say, go get me somebody, you don't think Sean Payton would have said, hell, he's on his way?
I don't know, because the fact of the matter is that we could sit here, and if we had enough allotted time or we do it again on a show, there's moments when the Saints drop the fucking ball and give him Brees what he needed to have.
Right, then they got Alvin Kamara, and then they got Mike Thomas, then they got Marshawn Lattimore.
And then the referees bent him over and screwed him in the ass. And that
you got to look at it, though. It's a different situation. You got to look at it. What people fail to realize is that Green Bay doesn't have an owner. So the GM doesn't have a single person that he has to answer to. I mean, they have what they call presidents or whatever. They have a board or whatnot, but they don't have an owner. So it's not like the owner is putting pressure on the GM to do this. I will say with Aaron Rodgers, I don't blame Aaron Rodgers, because last year I made it to the NFC Championship game. And then you go out there, you move up in the draft to get a quarterback. But if I'm in the NFC Championship game, you go get me something that's going to get us over the hump to get me into the Super Bowl. Don't go get me somebody that can't play for another 2-3 years. So, and this person, you got somebody like Aaron Rodgers, I don't care what he wants. If he wants to rename the franchise, I fucking do it.
That's the exact. And that's my exact point.
Piss on that shit. No,
you no, know what his fucking problem is. You can't give up.
Y'all two motherfuckers talked about this. Let me talk on this. Last year in the draft in 2020, who did they fucking pick?
Jordan Love.
What was his name? I'm setting this up. What was his name?
Jordan Love.
Right. What position does he play?
Quarterback.
Rabbit ears. Was that a QB? You just went out and got a quarterback. You think he's not, his ass ain't chapped about that? Fuck yeah, his ass is chapped about that. You go to the draft and you pick a quarterback. Out of all the damn players that you could have picked out of that fucking draft that could have been an influential player to help me out, and I'm talking A-Rod right now. If I'm A-Rod, you could have gone and got all this shit, but you go and pick a quarterback? Fuck you.
You moved up and got him too.
So here's my
thing. That's the problem
right there. They went and got a quarterback. They looked to the future, and they looked past him, and he's butthurt about it.
That's what I'm saying. So that is my entire fucking point here. You didn't see Bill Belichick. So why don't the Packers have the respect for Aaron that New England had for – because New England put the pieces into place for Brady to win.
Because Aaron Rodgers will never fucking be great. If you want my honest opinion,
if you
just did a juxtaposition between Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, and I'm going to sit here and say that Aaron Rodgers doesn't hold a jock strap to fucking Drew Brees.
But what you got to look at, too, is, like, they were looking at it, and over Brady's course of being with New England, he had eight top ten defenses. Aaron Rodgers only had one top ten defense and been in Green Bay, and that year he won the Super Bowl.
Whose fault is that?
You guys are missing the entire fucking question. My question, fuck the GOAT conversation. I don't give a fuck. That is Brady GOAT, hands down. That's why not what we're talking
why
about.
Why don't they have the same respect?
To New England, what?
No,
Aaron Rodgers is the Green Bay.
Brady won New England 6 Super Bowls.
Because he had a
Aaron
team
has never
who
been.
Gave a fuck is what I'm saying. You guys are missing the entire goddamn point.
Are you saying what that I'm saying Aaron Rodgers should be the same statute as a Tom? You're trying to say that Aaron Rodgers to Green Bay should be a Tom Brady New England, right? New England?
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying? Okay. He was never that guy. He was never that guy when he took over from Brett Favre.
So let me ask you this. Put Brady on the Packers. Does Brady win?
Fuck yes.
You guys are out of your fucking mind. Fucking stats, Chris.
I feel like he's the same thing.
He's the same quarterback.
I feel like he's the same thing. I feel like if you put Aaron Rodgers in New England system, he wins just as many Super Bowls as Brady won. But
he has more.
I'm not about to say that. 7 Super Bowls is hard to fucking win, man.
He wouldn't have lost to the Giants. The plays that Brady didn't make, okay, then. So how can you sit here and say that? So it's impossible to predict that Brady would have won.
My point is,
if I'm the Packers, I'm giving Aaron Rodgers anything he wants. If he wants me to hold him and rock him to sleep like a fucking baby every night, I'm keeping one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game of football happy.
I will trust him personally.
Because they're fucking idiots. Stupid. Plain and simple. Have you ever been to Green Bay?
No.
That is an Aaron Rodgers fucking – listen, that is an Aaron Rodgers fucking town.
When Brett Favre was there, and it was Lambeau was there. It's not just Green Bay. That's every major organization in the NFL. Everybody treats everybody the same way. The Dallas Cowboys have got it. The Philadelphia Eagles have got it. The fucking Raiders have got it. Green Bay's got it. New England's got it. You can go through the whole gamut. Of the major players in the NFL, it's all the same. They all have those guys. That's what makes them the best of the best. That's why we only talk about the best of the best. The only time we talk about the fucking Jacksonville Jaguars is when they picked up 3 multi-good players in the draft. We won't be talking about them in 6 months.
Right. So here's my thing, though. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, and I'm going to say it right now, I think Aaron Rodgers is a better Packer than Brett Favre. Call it what you want. Aaron Rodgers is a better Packer than Brett Favre. You can fuck what nobody says. Aaron Rodgers will go down as a better Packer than Brett Favre.
Like you said, when I think Packers, I think Brett Favre. But anyways,
I don't think
Aaron Rodgers. That's what's fucking crazy.
Listen, and I'm not. This one's slight to Aaron Rodgers, but I'm gonna say it like this, y'all. You look at it over the past 30 years, the Green Bay Packers had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks consecutively. So it's not like they had a gap where they had somebody else. The Packers organization has failed to provide their two Hall of Fame quarterbacks with what they need. I feel like the Packers as an organization has underachieved.
So how many Super Bowl rings did Brett Favre have?
One.
And wasn't he the backup? Wasn't he the backup that season, started that season? I'm pretty sure.
Oh, he won. No, he was the MVP that year.
Oh, he won that title.
Okay.
Yeah, he was an awesome
win. Okay, so how many Super Bowls does Aaron Rodgers have?
One.
One.
How many MVP? How many MVPs did? How many MVPs did Brett Favre have?
I'm not sure. He had a couple, but I'm not sure.
Mm. I think he has the same amount as A-Rod. Oh, okay. Statistically speaking, Brett Favre also played 10 years more than while he was on opioids every game, doing that shit, kind of shit, playing.
Here we go. I'm just curious of all fucking time, and he stayed coked up. Why are we talking about that?
I'm just curious of why you guys are so anti-Aaron
Rodgers. Get the fuck out of here. There you go. Another defensive juggernaut in the game, and all the flamer right there, and he stayed coked up all the time.
Why are we discrediting Aaron Rodgers right now?
I'm discrediting him.
You guys are.
The only thing I said about Aaron Rodgers is he's turning into a damn JJ sitting over there. You look like a fucking millennial right now.
Wouldn't you, though, if you were doing what you did and your team did the same thing? Wouldn't you?
I'd be pissed.
I'm just curious.
I would be going to the GM? No, I'd be
I'm just curious.
I'd be calling my agent on the phone going, what are my options?
But I said, because you're a damn liar if you said that you made it to the NFC Championship game and they didn't do shit for you, and you'd be like, fuck it. You're a damn liar. Everybody who fucking says that is a fucking liar. So here's my thing.
I wouldn't be sitting here pulling the bullshit he's doing.
I want anybody who's not helping me succeed with this team can kick fucking rocks. I'm talking about slide down Mount Everest head first. I don't give a fuck. I want to win. I'm not here to make friends. So I fully agree with Aaron Rodgers. Get him the fuck out and give me a GM who will get me some people to help. You know what GM has it figured out that's going to be good in the next 2 years? The fucking Lions. Believe it or fucking not, they're loading the fuck up to help Jared Goff or whatever his – Jared Chokes a lot, whatever his name is.
I'm not, if Sean McVay can't help Jared Goff, then nobody can.
I'm not saying Sean McVay. I'm not saying he's going to be that level good, but I'm saying they're going to win. They're going to win some ballgame. So I just don't understand why A-Rod is seen as a bad guy. I would be pissed too. We just spoke basketball. Remember when Kobe was bitching to his GM and wanting to go to Chicago? I know you guys remember that. Primo, that was your time back when the whole Shaq deal was going on. And he requested that trade to Chicago, and him and Vanessa were looking at houses and schools in Chicago, and he was prepared to wear number 23 and all of that. You remember that?
And what did GM tell him?
You should stay the fuck where you are. We're trading Shaq.
He said, you're not going any damn well.
So yeah, what? We'll trade Shaq.
And then what did they proceed to do? He had a couple of rough passes, but what did they proceed to do? They got aggressive and they got pieces around him. Everybody just don't have time.
I'm not asking you. But I'm saying why. What the fuck is possessing you to not give this man whatever the fuck he wants? If he wanted half of my fucking sandwich every day for the rest of my life, I would give it to him.
I just told you. It's different because of the fact that the Green Bay Packers doesn't have an owner. It's different when you have an owner applying pressure on you to win now. If they had an owner applying pressure on them, okay, go out there and win now, they don't take Jordan Love. They take somebody who can get them over the hump. So it's different when you don't have an owner. And I think that's the only difference in it.
Do you also think that they ride on this whole Lambeau thing too much?
Absolutely. Just like Pittsburgh rides on terrible talent too much.
Oh, my God. They live on the mystique. I don't agree with the mystique. You're not in Lambeau days. Lambeau is over. And I'm not saying that in a disrespectful way.
Just that's like the Bears.
If any Green Bay fans, that's going to piss them off. But the fact of the matter is this. That Lambeau thing is great from a statute standpoint and from the fact that the championship itself is molded around that. And that I get. The history of that I get. But to sit here and not have an owner in place and to not do the things that you need to do as an organization per what you're deeming as your franchise quarterback, you're stupid as shit. I think I have more problems with them than I do him. I don't really have a problem with Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to tell you right now, I might sit Dak down if I could get Aaron. I'm just saying. But
– oh, I'm telling you right now, there's not a quarterback.
Standpoint, they're sitting on it.
There's not a not top 10 quarterback. Matter of fact, I'll say top three because I would replace every quarterback in the NFL with Aaron Rodgers besides like three.
But let me say this because this – let me say this. It's the thing about the Packers is they're able to sit back and rest on their brand. The Packers brand is always going to be the Packers brand. And let me say this, and just hear me out. And I understand, okay, it might not have the same mystique that it did, but at the end of the day, they're still going to pull in money. They're still going to have fans. People are still going to be diehard.
That's the point I was making just a second ago when I went off on that fucking tirade when CT and I were going, you know, at it with this. It's the same thing with every organization. Every organization is like, the Raiders will never lose money. The Dallas Cowboys are never going to lose money.
Dallas Cowboys,
the fucking Packers are never going to lose money. San Fran is never going to. It doesn't make a fuck with you. We were making money when we were 1-15.
Right. That's so here's the thing. So like the thing is like people are like, oh, the Cowboys live on their sixth ring. Okay, they want them. No, who gives a fuck? Or they say, oh, the Raiders live on the black and silver. Blah, 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 blah. Who gives a fuck? Like. Oh, who gives a donkey fuck? Because that does nothing for you today. The Saints had this issue. You guys, remember that year that Drew Brees, they went like 1-15 or some shit when Drew Brees got hurt. That next year they came back, went to the Super Bowl.
But I mean,
Sean Payton knew.
Me as a Knicks fan, we haven't won a title since 73. Guess what? Every time it comes up, the Knicks is the second highest value NBA franchise behind every single year.
It doesn't make a shit if there's an NBA team in there or if it's a concert. It's Madison Square Garden. It's just like going to Lambeau Field. There's nothing like going to Lambeau Field. It's historic.
That's just like going to Jerry's World.
What? I've been there.
If you look, you that go to Jerry's World, you're going to –
insane when you walk into that.
When you walk into Jerry's World. I've seen Jerry's World. I have seen it with my eyes. Beautiful. Just like Vegas. In 20 years, people are going to say, bro, that stadium was fucking monumental. Have you seen that fucking stadium? Or like when you – fuck it. I'll say it. Going to the Eagles place. That shit is still monumental for the fact that a lot of great came through these arenas. Fuck it. Listen. When you think of the Dolphins had all that success. Never won a damn thing. No, guarantee their top five richest. Guarantee they're worth one of the highest amounts in the NFL.
Right. Listen, I hate Duke with a passion. I hate Duke with a passion that I can piss on fire and make it an even bigger flame. I hate
that. That's a beautiful fucking campus.
But I will say this. When you go to that little bitty ass fucking rinky dink ass basketball court, that thing exudes richness of heritage. And you can't deny it. I fucking hate them, but you can't deny it.
Look, I went to watch Kansas play for my 21st birthday. You guys remember me telling you about going to Kansas for my birthday. We were all still working together at the time, I think. I went
And, bro, that arena packed out on a Saturday.
Crazy.
Bro, when I tell you I was sitting there watching this game and my feet were vibrating. Bro, like, stuff like that you can't touch. You can't, but you also can't live your fucking life on history of what you have done. Because me as a USC fan,
what have you done for me lately?
Janet Jackson said it best. Our old store manager, he says shit to me all the time. But what have you done for me lately?
What have you done for me lately?
But here's my thing about that. Like, if, coming from a USC fan, bro, we won a Rose Bowl in 2017. Who gives a
I don't fuck? Care.
I don't know where Prevo went. I'm trying to move on so we can end this shit.
Yeah. But, yo, you know something crazy, though?
What's up?
You know the Cowboys second-round pick, Kelvin Joseph, the cornerback from Kentucky? You know he's already released 7 rap albums.
That's a crazy style of the day for you.
He's released 7 rap albums already. He just got drafted. Like, at that point, once I found out he released 7 rap albums, I honestly would not have drafted him.
I'd have cut him. I'd have drafted him just to cut him.
They knew that before he got drafted. Like, come on.
And they passed on Asante Samuels Jr.
I'd have cut him.
We're still doing stuff.
I don't understand where you walked away, dude.
Hey, listen, we're doing a show that is not, we do not edit. We've said this from the fucking jump from day one. When I get off, I'm either going to get a beer or I'm going to use the latrine.
Did you know Kelvin Joseph?
If everybody in YouTube land and the 18 subscribers that we have needs to know where Prevo goes, that's where Prevo goes. I either go get a beer or I go urinate. And then I come back and we kick rock.
You want to know something, though?
Kelvin Joseph?
Who? You know Kelvin Joseph? The second round pick that y'all had from Kentucky, the cornerback?
Yes, I'm stoked.
You know he's released 7 rap albums to date?
He's what?
He's already released 7 rap albums.
Rap albums in his lifetime to date.
Can I say something to you?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't give a fuck.
That guy said it. Oh, shit.
Hey, look, Prevo.
Balls of donkey dicks.
You would think we've been doing this for a while because I knew you were going to say that as soon as you said it. I was like, he's going to say, don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck. Because the problem, tell you why. Because when he goes to practice and he finally earns that star, when he earns that star on that helmet and he steps out on that football field and he starts paving the way, that's when I'll give a shit. I don't give a fuck about your album.
I'm going to listen to his music, though. You know, I listen to Cole Beasley's album.
I tell you what, Christopher, when you get done listening
it was so bad, yo.
I'll give you 6.5 minutes on this fucking show to talk about it, and then we're going to ignore your ass for those 6.5 minutes, and we're going to keep it moving.
I listened to Cole album. It was so bad.
So is there anything else that you guys feel necessary to touch on?
No, we need to end this damn show. It's only supposed to be like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to knock these crazy stats of the day, and then we out.
All right, I'm with it.
This is Stevie's crazy stats of the day.
If I had time to do crazy stats of the day, I hit his ass with this shit within minutes. And he gets crazy stats together. That's the Aaron Rodgers bullshit.
And look, player, can't never knock a homie off his grind. I'm always here. I got a whole note album full of this shit. And when I do them on the show, I delete them out. That way I don't redo anything.
CT's got 7 rap albums also. It's just all crazy stats.
Bro, I have enough shit written in my phone. I have enough shit ringing in my phone. I could probably drop a fucking album just off podcasting alone. I could drop 28 diss tracks right now to any NFL player we don't like.
I don't like Cole Beasley.
That's all you gotta say. I have some hate for you next show. I have some bad stats. Actually, fun fact: do you know that he has less drops than missed games?
You know he made an All-Pro team this past year.
Listen, man, Cole Beasley was a good receiver.
Oh, Kobe he's on a Julian Edelman type status. If he had the right setup,
Listen,
like right now Cole, with Dak, he'd have been dope.
Listen, I don't hate Cole Beasley because he sucks. I hate Cole Beasley because he's good. That's why I hate him. Because I saw what he used to do to us. A little pest.
Because he ate y'all's fucking lunch every time he plays y'all. That's
bro, he's like a fucking gnat. You can't get rid of him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's that's why I don't like Cole Beasley.
Bro, that's why I hated Wes Welker's old punk ass.
I understand.
Wes Welker paved the way for Julian Edelman.
Hey, what is it really fast? Did y'all see what Brady said? I know y'all saw this shit. Y'all see what Brady
said? We're supposed to get into that.
We'll say we're gonna be doing another show soon enough. And actually, yeah, we're all gonna be together. Get the fucking crazy stats out of the way, man.
So crazy stat number one of the day is Bubba Wells played 39 games in the NBA, yet holds the record for the fastest player to ever foul out in a game. He did this in 3 minutes.
They put him in the game just to foul.
So crazy at number two is Yao Ming is fully deaf in his left ear.
Oh shit!
I didn't know that.
Crazy at number three: for the first time in NFL history, a quarterback and wide receiver from the same college were drafted by the same team in the first round of back-to-back drafts. Now it's happened twice. The same draft: Burrow and Chase, and then Waddle and
Tua.
Final criticism of the day is Mac Jones is the 11th Saban player Bill Belichick has drafted. The record for most NFL players taken by a pro college coach combo in NFL common draft era. I got another one, just real quick bonus that I'm never going to use this in an actual crazy Saturday. Charles Barkley used to play games in the NBA with a belly button full of Vaseline.
Wow.
Charles is so old.
I just want to know why.
Wow. I don't Google questions. I don't Google answers. I just Google
them. I'm saying, when you found that, nobody gave a reason why he did that.
You're ending the show on that. You're ending the show on belly button basketball.
Come on. Give me something crazy. Else,
I got another one. Hold on. I got another one.
Please do. I can't end on that. That's a visual I don't want in my life.
All right. Crazy stat. Dwight Howard recorded 3 assists in the 2011 playoffs, yet had 33 turnovers.
He sucks.
I agree with that. Actually,
he's a Hall of Famer also.
All right,
Thank you guys for watching. Please hit the subscribe button. Leave comments. Leave questions. We are here for you. Ignore the fuck out of what his ass just said. He might, back with Houston very soon.
Look, I'm going to tell you right now. Next show is going to be wild. Be ready for another 3-hour one because all the shit we've touched on tonight, we gotta look. We have to come back on it.
If we're gonna do 3 hours, then we're gonna have to break these bitches into like part one and part two. We can't. Then nobody's watching the fucking 3-hour deals, man.
Man, it's too long.
We got a lot of shit to say. All right, Chris, say what you gotta say so I can get us the fuck out of here.
Oh man, I had a good rundown that I was gonna say at the end, but you know,
say what you gotta say. See what you guys say.
I don't remember. Like,
dumbass, share, right?
Subscribe. Make sure you share. Just share. Whatever you do, whether you like, subscribe, whatever, just share. Because somebody's
help us get to where we need to go. Yeah. We just got to fall in the right hand. Like Allstate. They're not paying us. But, you know, thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening. Again, all the links will be in the description below. So we will have all that out. Continue to like, share, and subscribe on all platforms. Anchor is actually coming out with a new way to subscribe to our podcast straight from the Anchor app. If you are interested in that, feel free to message me. I will walk you through how to do that. Coming up. Like I said, bouncing ideas off these guys, trying to get some cool stuff in order, doing what we got to do. But we will be back in the next few days. We're not going to set an exact date because Lord knows we'll all be like, Wi-Fi's down. But like Chris and Prevo Ball said, continue to like, subscribe, rate us 5-star on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Fun fact, we were actually the 600th trending sports podcast on Spotify yesterday.
We broke 600?
That's dope.
We were 600 in the world. So that means a lot of people are listening on Spotify. 600 in the world, man. Yeah. I was gonna use that as a crazy stat, but I was like, let me not, because that sounds like a self-deprecating crazy stat.
Yeah, you made me feel good.
Yeah, we're on the way. Our 3-hour draft one. I think it was the word draft, because I think a lot of people were interested in taking it. Yeah. But guys, we'll be back in the next few days. Until then, here's something to chew on until that one's ready. Continue to like, subscribe, and all that shit. And the words of my great friend, Mr. Prevo, the mics are now cold.